when Jesus caught Mary's attention in the garden outside of that tomb. And I tell you, something happened in the universe when Jesus said, Mary. It wasn't an angel. We're going to read about the angels. And angels are good, but they're not as good as Jesus. When He talked to her, man, everything changed. I want to share with you this morning that your life and my life hinges on that event. The garden just outside of Jerusalem, just outside the mouth of the tomb. That event, when Jesus said Mary, it said everything. That He was alive, that He had conquered, and all of that. I'll go on to explain that. But our lives hinge on that very piece of data that it actually happened. You see, we have a common enemy. We do. It's common to every one of us, bar none. Doesn't matter where you come from. We have a common enemy. It's the same. And that enemy is called death. Doesn't matter how much money you have. Doesn't matter what country you were born in. Your skin color is not an issue. Your physical stature does not matter. Death and the grave are our enemies. And we've done what we can to fight against it. I don't know how many billion-dollar industry the makeup industry is, but makeup is trying to fight death. It's on its way. I'm going to try and cover it up. We've instituted safety protocols to keep death away. We take vitamins and all kinds of different medications. And we exercise and some of us try to eat properly. Others of us just eat what's set before them. Most of the largest buildings in any great city you'll find are hospitals. Hospitals are there to fight against death. All these things to come against death are common enemy. And in spite of we don't know how many dollars have been spent down through history for remedies and all kinds of things for our health, in spite of our very, very best effort, death still comes. It can come to someone in a gutter or in a palace. It doesn't matter. Death doesn't care. It just comes and treats us all the same. Or does it? I want to just spend my introduction this morning on a guy by the name of Barabbas. He's a pretty famous character. I bet he never thought or knew that his name would be mentioned multiple times in the most read book in the universe. He didn't expect to be part of anyone else's story. And I want to show you today in this introduction who Barabbas was and is. This Barabbas guy. You know, you see the movies about Jesus and Barabbas. Some of them make him out to be a crazy man or something like that. But I don't think he was. His name Barabbas means bar, which means son, Abba, which means a Swedish pop. No, Abba meaning father. If you're too young, you're not going to get that one. Mamma Mia. Anyway, I've been around a long time. Have you ever had a flashback? This morning I had a flashback. My great niece, Josie, and my granddaughter, Becky, were down here in the front row. And they were jumping up and down and praising the Lord while we were singing. And I had a flashback because we used to have a cousin twins, Tim and Jim. They would do the same thing about 25 years ago. At the Desert Sage School, they'd do the same thing. So it's a flashback. Bar meaning son, Abba meaning father. He's the son of a father. That means he's nothing of significance. And I know, I actually have heard some people that I was surprised bring him up, and that some historians say that Barabbas' first name was Jesus. which is interesting, but I don't know if it's true or not. And I want to talk to you about who Barabbas is. In Mark 15:7, it says, "And there was one named Barabbas, which laid bound with them that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection." And then I'm going to flip to John 18:39. And Pilate says, "But ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews?" Then cried they all again, saying, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a robber. And so I'm thinking about this, and I'm going to be filling in some blanks here, but it seems like everybody else does, so I think I can take the privilege of filling some blanks in here. You see, though the Roman Empire was very strong, there was always some Israeli zealots that were trying to win freedom for their people. And they were, we would call them patriots today. They did not like the idea of being under the thumb of the Roman government and paying all this money, tax money to them. They wanted to be able to govern themselves. And Barabbas was part of a small army that were just around to do that. They did whatever they could to undermine the authority of the Romans. And to many Israeli people, they were heroes. Kind of Robin Hoodish like. And so, bless God. So some thought. Yes, we will. Right now, Jamie, put your hand on her. Father, in the name of Jesus. Tammy's been dealing with blood pressure issues, Lord. Now, in the name of Jesus, touch her. By the Master's hand, Lord, you touch that woman that just touched the hem of your garment. Touch my dear sister Tammy right now for your glory's sake. Begin to regulate her blood pressure, Father, in the name of Jesus. Do not let her get headaches or lightheadedness now for your glory's sake. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. Somewhere along, Barabbas and his gang got caught. They would steal tax money from the Roman coffers when they weren't looking. They did whatever they could do. And they were caught, and a fight broke out. And in the course of the fight, Barabbas killed somebody, and I assume it would be a Roman. Listen carefully, folks. Barabbas was on death row. He was awaiting execution. He was a thief and a murderer. He was going to die at the hands of the Romans. No matter what else he did, he was going to die at the hands of the Romans, and he was merely waiting. The day had come. The world would be no better off for Barabbas' efforts. The Jewish people would be no better off for what he had done, but he had done it his way. Perhaps he thought he was a good guy. Perhaps others did. Maybe that's why they cried for him. They thought he was a good guy, a freedom fighter. And yet, truly, he was just a criminal. The judge had banged his gavel, declared the death penalty. And at the next session of the crucifixions, he would join two other thieves and be put to death, a public death. And the day had come. The soldiers clanging the cell doors came for him. No matter who you are, folks, that day will come. Death has no friends. They unlock Barabbas' cell door. The Roman soldier begins to unlock the shackles from his arms and his leg, and the soldier is shaking his head. And instead of grabbing Barabbas, he simply tells him, "You're free to go." What? You are free to go. The Passover release has come, and you have been chosen. Jesus of Nazareth is taking your place. He will hang on the middle cross that was built for you. But you, sir, are free to go. Who is Barabbas? Me. I'm Barabbas.
I've done it my own way. I've done as good as I can do. But thank God, Jesus of Nazareth came and died on the cross that was meant for me. The devil had death written all over me. He has come to destroy and ruin everyone in this room. You are Barabbas. I am Barabbas. I'm just the son of a father. It's all of us. We can be good people or not so good people, but we are held prisoner by our own actions and our own sin until somebody comes and pays the price. And it's the same guy. It's the same guy for Barabbas, and it's the same guy for us. It's Jesus of Nazareth that went to that cross. Hallelujah. I say that because it's so important when we talk about the resurrection. You don't need a resurrection until something dies. But the resurrection validates what Jesus did on the cross by shedding His blood. He becomes the perfect and eternal Passover lamb. He paid the price. He paid that debt that I could not pay. You know, when Jesus died, everything kind of hung in a dark balance. We hear that the sun didn't shine. And there was turbulent weather going on. And the veil was rent in the temple and all of these things. And then darkness just hung in the air. Think of it. It's the first time in history that either the Son was not at the right hand of the Father or on earth. It's different. The earth responds to God. I'm not going to get into that, but it does. It looked like death had defeated the Son of God. It wasn't just for a minute, and it wasn't just for an hour. The days were long and hard. And the disciples had hidden themselves away. And it was a very, very difficult time for the believers in Jesus. And in Matthew 28:1, we'll begin to read the Scripture. How important is this Scripture? Well, your life hinges on whether you believe this or not. We read this already this morning in the sunrise service. I didn't realize I had the same Scripture portion for both services. It was wonderful as the sun came up over the mountains. We were praising the Lord. Hallelujah. Singing how great thou art. Matthew 28:1, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. I love these women, but they didn't come to watch the resurrection. They came to minister to a dead body. And sometimes things get dark around you. You can't see reality. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. I went into more detail this morning, but listen, tombs were designed to stay sealed. They generally built the opening on a decline. And so the big rock that was here, they would pop the wedge and it would roll into the hole and seal it. It would be very difficult for anyone to reopen it. We know that Pilate had put in his seal on it so that some soldiers there so that nobody could break that seal. Penalty of death if they did. But you know what? Man can't thwart what God's doing. The angel had no problem tearing the seal away and opening that tomb. And then he sat upon it and watched the show. It says his countenance was like lightning, his raiment white as snow. You want a comparison, you might want to look at the Mount of Transfiguration, and they use the word glistering. Very interesting word. And perhaps this is what he looked like to them. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. The angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus. If you seek Jesus, somebody will point you to Him. If you'll seek the Lord, I don't care where you are, If you'll seek the Lord. I have time here. There was a young man behind the Iron Curtain. You remember the Cold War days. And he had a heart for God, but no one told him. He lived in an atheistic country. There were no churches around. He didn't know this God. But he prayed a prayer. He said, I want to know God. Somehow I want to know God. In the course of his young life, he had an opportunity to escape from the Soviet Union. And he headed west. And it was huge. They were serious about keeping people in. You worried about our border wall? They had barbed wire, all kinds of things. And there was a barbed wire deal. I don't want to say fence, barricade. And he had to crawl under it. As he's crawling under it, the barbed wire tears the shirt off of his back. And he's kind of bleeding. And he's on his elbows getting through there. And while he's thinking, he said, oh, I wonder if there is a God. Now, you can believe this or not, but plenty of other people have told this story. He gets through to the other side. And there is a piece of paper caught by one of the barbs of the fence. He reaches down and picks up that piece of paper, and it is John chapter 3 in Russian. Nobody knows how that piece fell out of a Bible, how the wind blew it. All God knew is this man. He want to seek me. Let me tell you, if you'll seek Jesus, somebody will point you to it. Hallelujah. The angel says, hey, I know you're seeking Jesus, which was crucified. Once again, heaven knew that Jesus had died. What are there more wonderful words for them women to hear? He is not here, however. He is risen. They struggled to believe this, for he is risen. You know, sometimes you can get so down when you hear good news, you don't know what to do. He is risen. He said, come on, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goes before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy. Those are two interesting emotions to have at the same time. And did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them. I'm thankful for the word of the angel. But let me tell you, I want to hear the voice of Jesus. When he tells them all hail. When he says, hello, girls. It caught their attention. There is no voice like the voice of Jesus. Some of you in this building have heard his voice. There's nothing like it. And when they heard the voice of the shepherd, when he said, all hail, they came. They dropped whatever they were doing. I got another sermon I'll have to wait for later. It's called Wasted Spices. They had come with spices. They didn't need the spices anymore. That which they were going to anoint was alive again and speaking to them. They dropped their old spices and they said, oh Lord, you are alive, you're alive, you're alive. Everything began to brighten up. That which was dull and sullen became alive again. That which was in black and white became color again. The trees greened up. Hallelujah. The grass greened up. The sky began to shine. Blue again. All hail. Hello, girls. Here I am. Hallelujah. He says, now girls, don't be afraid. You go and tell my brethren that they go into Galilee and they'll see me there. My question to you is, can you and I believe this? This is an actual happening. It's not just a religious story to keep us in line or keep us happy. Is this a reality? Let me tell you, the resurrection of Jesus Christ means nothing until it happens inside of you. If Jesus really did rise from the dead, that means that he has defeated our common enemy, death. Death reigned supreme since Adam and Eve fell. Death had reigned supreme. But no longer. There is something bigger and badder than death. It's what everybody fears, that last breath. It's what keeps you on the right. You know what I was thinking the other day? I said, the only thing between me and a head-on collision is some painted lines. And Arizona's don't read painted lines all that well. It's what keeps us in line. This death idea. You say, yeah, well, Pastor, people still die. Well, sort of. Believers are separated from their mortal bodies, yes. But it is not death like everyone else. But you've got to believe this right here. You've got to believe that Jesus really died and that He really rose from the dead. How important is it? In Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, Romans 10:9, if thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, comma, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You can't get saved until you believe that Jesus is alive. It's not just the subject of Easter Sunday morning. It's for all time. You can't get saved until you believe that Jesus is alive. He rose from the dead. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. But if the Spirit of Him, are you there? Romans 8:11. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells inside of you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken or make alive your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. The same power that raised Jesus up from the dead, took Him all the way from the grave, blew out the rock that was in front of it. That same Spirit is here this morning. The same Holy Spirit. He has the same power. Well, some of you will get it some night. And this Spirit dwells within us. Why should I worry? Why should I fret? Why not think everything's going to be all right? The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is in me. Some of you get it, some of you don't. Maybe He doesn't live in you, but He can before the day's over. So for the believer, for the truster in Jesus Christ, hear me clearly, death is dead. We are alive. Life has overcome death. Be honest with me, is anyone here afraid of bees? Be honest. Bees, hornets, wasps. Everybody has a horror story. Mine was early in my life. Yeah. My brother and I were sitting on an old apple tree that had fallen over. And nobody told us that huge hive of black wasps had made that their home. There were no flashing lights. We were just sitting there talking. And all of a sudden, it was like a movie. So, what's that? And they were on us before we could move. And it felt like a million. Yeah, I mean, they were all over us. And we didn't have a stopwatch, but I think I might have broke some 7-year-old records for running. I can remember. I had my hands in the air. I was screaming as loud as I can. Running for the house. My mother wouldn't let us in. No, you can't let the... No, I'm just kidding. But, It looked like I had chicken pox. I stung. Any exposed areas was stung. And what a horrible thing. So I've always had a healthy respect. Now let me ask you another question. How afraid would we be if they didn't have stingers? You'd make pets out of them. The bee movie. You people would have them in their little cages, their little bumblebees all over the place. They're pretty. What's to be afraid of? They don't have a stinger. Well, that's how a believer ought to be with the death issue. 1 Corinthians 15:54. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Jesus took the sting of death out. Oh, grave, where is your victory? You can't hold us. Whatever happens to this old body when we're departed, but my soul believes in Jesus, whatever happens to it, whether you're nice to it, you put it in a nice casket and find a nice little burial thing for it, or whether you put it in a little urn, whatever the case might be, in the ground, in a cupboard, whatever, on the mantle. You sprinkle the ashes on the ocean, wherever it is, there's coming a day, friends, when life will come back into that body, regardless of how it was disposed of, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, it doesn't matter. There is coming a day of resurrection for those that believe in Jesus Christ, and we will stand again and shout at the top of our lungs, O death, where is thy sting? And O grave, where is thy victory? There's lots of talk these days about immigration. Everybody got an opinion. And everybody's opinion is just a little bit different. Because it depends how long you've been an immigrant or not. But you see, there was this immigrant. Literally escaped the nation that he was born in. And he was able to escape that nation and come. And I don't know how much better it was, but he ended up in New York City. He ended up in Brooklyn, New York, and tried to get along there. Didn't know English. Didn't understand English. It was very difficult. Hard to find a job. Didn't speak anything so people could understand him. He's struggling. Now, this is when we actually had immigration agents, and you had to report in. And he gets a letter. He says, sir, come on in. You've got to come in. And so he comes in and he's talking to the agent. And the agent said, since you don't know our language, since you don't have a job, you've got to go back to the country that you started in. If anybody knows anything about Haiti, you don't want to go back there. And this young man, I can't say as I approve of his moves, but he says, I'm not going back to Haiti. And the other guy said across from the desk, yes, you are. He says, no, I'm not going back to Haiti. The third time he reached over the desk, grabbed the guy by the collar, lifted him up and said, I'm not going back. And the agent said, oh, you're serious. I guess we won't send you back then. He went along trying to eke out a life. Did whatever he could. But he failed. And a depression came upon him. He said, there's no life for me in Haiti. And there's not even a life for me here in the United States of America. The land of the free. He says, I've had enough. He got a gun. A long gun. And he rigged it up. I'm done. He said, I'm just done. While he's getting the gun ready, there's a It was not a handgun, it was a long gun. Well, he's getting it ready. He turned the TV on as if perhaps the TV would drown out the gunshot. So he turned it on quite loud. Now, I don't know. I don't know how that piece of paper of John chapter 3 got just outside of Russia. And I don't know how that particular day there was an evangelist on that television when he turned it on. I don't know how it got on the channel that that was on. I don't know any of that stuff. But when Dallas turned that television on, he cranked it up. He didn't know what was on. He was going about his business, and he was rigging up a device so that he could use his foot to pull the trigger that would blow his head off. As he's getting ready to do that, the guy in the television stopped. He was in the middle of something else, and he just stopped dead, pointed his finger at the camera, and said, "Put the gun down." He looked around. He said, he got ready to push the trigger that would pull the trigger. He got ready to do it again. And the guy on the TV stopped again and said, "I said, put the gun down. God has something better for your life. Give your life to Jesus instead of killing yourself." That arrested Talis Baptiste. He gently took the gun away, took the little device away, put it down, and there in front of that television, he surrendered his life to Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is alive. He changes people. During the course of time, young Talis loved Jesus and was baptized in the Holy Ghost, and he began to preach to anybody who would listen to him. He'd preach in Creole if they understood it, or he'd preach in whatever English he had. He would preach it. And he moved to Arizona, and he would preach all over Arizona, up and down, and in the reservations. Do whatever he could for the cause of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. His health, he'd been battling with his health for some time. And this last week and a half or so had been very difficult. And they finally rushed him into the hospital. His bodily functions were failing. He had difficult times with digestion and his intestines. And they had done two or three surgeries. Three surgeries trying to put this man's intestines together. The doctor says there's just not enough there. We can't attach anything to it. It just comes apart. And so he's been poisoned for the last some days here. He was poisoned, actually. His body was resisting and that kind of thing. Deb talked to him on the phone. I went to pray with him, and he shouted me down. About 6 o'clock Friday or yesterday. Friday morning at 6 o'clock. At least a portion of his family is around his bed in the hospital there in Gilbert. And now we have eyewitnesses of this. Now, I'm telling you this story, not just for effect and not just because of his wife is here. But as Talis's time came to a close here on this earth. I want to talk to you about death here. According to his daughter-in-law, she said, "I had my hand on his chest and on his hand, And she said, suddenly, electricity filled the room. The Holy Ghost and power filled that room. See, now you know, Kat, she goes, "I began to shout pray. I just pray. I begin to shout pray. I pray in an ICU. In a hospital." Listen to this, though. So, and the glory of God was in that room. She said, and then I felt Talis go be with Jesus. He said, I had my hands up. Woo! And the Spirit of God came through me when he left. Boom! And I know where he was. Death, where's your stinger? Grave, where is your victory? For those that believe that Jesus died and rose again, death is dead. We no longer have to fear it. Of course, we miss our dearly departed loved ones. We miss them. They've left us to suffer. They're rejoicing. They don't sing when we all get to heaven. They sing, we're all here in heaven. It's not something in the future for them. They're rejoicing today. Hallelujah. But you got to believe. And your life will reflect your belief. It's not just the confession of your mouth. It's part of it. It's not just what you say, but it's what you truly believe in your heart. And your life will prove what's in your heart. Your heart cannot be hidden. What's in your heart cannot be hidden. It will come out sooner or later. Jesus came to save the whole man, the whole person, from your head, your hands, your legs, every part of your torso. He came to save it all. Jesus rose completely from the dead so that he could save us completely or utterly, leaving nothing outside of his purview or his authority in your life. Tim, if you'd come. I've said that to say this. Jesus' resurrection is my resurrection for all eternity. If I would lay down my life for Him, if I would choose Him, I wonder if there's anyone here today that needs to make that choice. You might be Barabbas today. You've tried it on your own. You've tried to be a good person. Sometimes successful, sometimes a failure. But without Jesus Christ, you're just not going to make it. All you are is in a prison cell, waiting for your day of death. But if you'd make a good choice today, just say, I'm tired of living in that way of life. I want to be free in Jesus. I'm tired of being afraid to die. Folks, the fear of death grips people. It's hard to believe how much it grips them. I'm tired of being afraid of tomorrow. Tired of being afraid what's going to happen. What's going to happen in the world? Always fear. I'm afraid of all that. I'm telling you, choose Jesus today. Believe with all your heart that God has raised Him from the dead. Confess Jesus. Allow Him the privilege and the power. We sang it, I'm amazed. By His precious blood I found pardon. It's the only blood powerful enough to cleanse us from our sin. And if you'd like to pray today and say, yes, Lord, it's time for me to move out of Barabbas' prison cell. It's time for me to be unshackled and believe that Jesus took my place when He went to the cross. If that's you this morning, would you just raise your hand and say, because I just want to pray with you. It doesn't matter who's looking around. If that's you, I just don't pray with you. Just raise your hand. I'm not going to embarrass you. I am looking around, seeing, is there anyone here? Perhaps we're all saved. I hope that's the case. I hope no one leaves this place without a personal knowledge of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me today? Lord, we put our lives in Your hands because You are the resurrection and the life. We place all our fears in Your hands. We place all of our needs in Your hands because You're the resurrection and the life. We can trust You with all, everything. There's nothing in this world that we can't trust You with. We trust You with our family. We trust You with our finances. We trust You with our physical health. We trust You with our mental health. We trust You. Lord, make us stalwarts in Your kingdom. I pray in the name of Jesus that You would commission every person in this place to be some kind of a missionary. That wherever we would go, we would affect the area that we are in. No matter where it is, who we're talking to, may we affect them with life. There's so much death around us, O Lord. There's so many people trying to alleviate pain with just a little self-medication here or there. But God, we have You. We have You, Jesus. We have Your Spirit. And the same Spirit that raised Jesus up from the dead shall also quicken our mortal bodies which dwells within us. May that quickening Spirit rise up in every one of us. Hallelujah. That we might share this glorious, glorious good news. That Jesus still saves. He still heals. He still delivers. And He's still coming again. Hallelujah. We give You praise today. We're going to sing Because He Lives, Tim. And we give You thanks in Jesus' name. Let's sing that chorus of Because He Lives here today. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know, oh, He holds the future, and life is worth the living. Oh, the Lord's speaking to somebody. We're going to sing it again. Believe it as you sing it.